Offensively, it was fun. Defensively, if you like defense, you did not like that game. It was gross. It was gross.
All I kept thinking watching that game was, I need three new linebackers like to compete for the two spots. And I need probably five defensive linemen.
At least.
You probably still need a legitimate free safety.
Do you need a quarterback? That's the question right now as well. 888-957-9570. Dave in San Francisco. I'll get to you here in a second. This is what Ryan Clark, former NFL DB, played for the Steelers, currently an analyst for ESPN and the NFL side. Does a lot of good things. Ryan Clark, I respect his opinion when it comes to certain things. When it comes to the NFL and the quarterbacks, well, let's see. This is what he has to say about Brock Purdy.
Sometimes it's not just about the wins and losses. It's about what's happening on the field. Sort of how you said, it's not about how many are injured, but who is injured.
Yeah.
You're looking at Brock Purdy this year. You're watching him play without Brandon Ayuk, without Juwan Jennings at time, with Deebo Samuel hurt, with Christian McCaffrey on injured reserve. And so you're seeing Brock Purdy have to do things you never saw him do before. And so you do envision that if we have to restructure this roster, can he do some of those things without the top tier or top end talent that he had in that Super Bowl run year? And to me, he's shown you that he could. And I believe that was important for a Kyle Shanahan and a Lynch to see, because now you do have to pay him. But I agree with you too. It doesn't have to be $62 million.
Right,
it doesn't have to be the most guaranteed.
What's the number going to be? That's going to be the next domino. We got one more game
to
go.
They pay him $62 million. That's franchise suicide. I mean, what are we doing? Like, I'm talking about per year. Like, an AAV, that's ridiculous.
If he resets...
This is stupid.
No, I'm like... If he resets the
pay quarterback
raise,
market.
He deserves a pay raise. I'm telling you, dude, that if they come close to that Trevor contract, that is really hitting the danger zone.
I don't...
That's a bad... The Trevor Lawrence contract... is a bad contract.
No, it is, but I understood why Jacksonville had to do it. They had a first-round pick. Jacksonville has to, because they're not getting anyone to come over.
They have the franchise tag in their back pocket. Like, you don't have to do anything. Now, can the quarterback hold out and do this? Like, what leg did Trevor Lawrence... What, Trevor Lawrence had a handful of good games.
He had their only playoff win in God knows how long, right?
Sure. He's also gone through how many coaches? And I know
but
it's
that's
not just
the
his
argument,
fault.
Though. That's not his fault.
I mean...
Like, I think Kyle Shanahan would love to have an opportunity right now for Trevor Lawrence. And I think, surprisingly, a lot of the fan base wouldn't mind going after a guy like Trevor Lawrence over Brock Purdy. Why? Size, strength, athleticism, his build, his touch at times. He can hit the deep balls. Like, there are things you can question now when it comes to Brock Purdy that you couldn't after last season. And he's shown some really good things. He has. But he's also shown the inability to stay healthy at times. And the inability to hoist a team and put them on the shoulders. Listen, you brought up Trevor Lawrence. It's one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the NFL. He put the team on his back, Joe Shasky. I at least saw that from Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if Brock Purdy's in that same position, if he could have done that. So, like, but you can say, well, Brock Purdy got to a Super Bowl. So
didn't he come back in the NFC title game last year?
Not to the extent of what Trevor Lawrence had.
Okay, but
still
a big comeback, though.
And he also had way more help than what Trevor Lawrence had. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
Trevor's had a couple of games.
That's what I'm saying.
Season.
Like, let's not act like he's some, like, Scrabini. Like, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, but it's a horrible deal.
It's a horrible situation he's also in.
I know, but
Doug Peterson's going to be gone. He's going to be fired.
I hate that contract.
That's
it's the same way I hate the Tua contract. And so people could tell me, well, that's the call.
But they can get out of Tua. I don't think there's any more guaranteed money on Tua's deal. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that was a quick deal. Like, they can get out of Tua's contract if they want the Dolphins.
There's a 3-year void or whatever.
Yeah.
I was looking at all these contracts. There's a void after 3 years. Same with Jared Goff. His new money starts.
But that's what I'm saying. You could bake this into these contracts. It's not cut and dry where you're going to see the language of it and then you're going to realize, oh, actually, it's not that bad. That's what I think is going to happen with the Brock Purdy deal when and if it gets done this season.
Look, I like Brock. I'm not moving him. He deserves some sort of a pay raise. I'm not giving him top of the market. And they need to still insulate themselves with a young drafted quarterback to be behind him, pushing him. I think that all those things are fair. When the Packers drafted Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers went completely Buck Louis internally, it did push him to multiple MVPs.
Do you think, let's say hypothetically.
I don't think competition's a bad thing.
Okay, let's say hypothetically, let's pick a guy because you're not going to get Cam Ward. You're not going to get Shedeur Sanders. You need to invest something else. Let's say, who's the third quarterback, and maybe he slides and there's a big drop-off. Jalen Milroe, Alabama.
Oh, that's a huge project.
But what is he? He gives you everything that Brock Purdy really doesn't, right? He's big, strong,
Jalen Milroe would be, to me, like similar to a Justin Fields. That's a non-starter for Kyle Shanahan.
He just fumbled a ball in the rain right now, too, Jalen Milroe.
That's fine. It's the rain. He's just like
Brock Purdy.
We
love talking about quarterbacks.
He's just like Brock Purdy then. All right, so there you go. Like, but I'm giving you an example. I'll give you an example. Quinn Ewers, that's stop. So yeah, I'm trying to give you someone with upside.
No, I know, but like,
I'm just saying, Quinn Ewers just gives me nothing. He gives me Brock Purdy.
Knowing Shanahan's, who Shanahan likes, he would like a Quinn Ewers. I know him. I feel like I know him.
Listen, but like, this is the problem. Now I'm getting upset. Like, then what are we doing here? You're just going to be drafting or getting players like, you need to, they try to go out of their comfort zone with Trey Lance a little bit, which I appreciated. You can find some common ground in between that. You don't have to get the guy that's not super athletic, super big, but he does all the other little things great. And you don't have to get the guy that's super big and athletic, but he can't do the little things great. Like, you can find a happy medium somewhere in there.
I would agree.
I don't think Jalen Milroe is a huge project. I think he does some nice things.
Well, I like Jalen, but I don't think that's a great fit. It's an example.
I'm saying if he falls to the third round and they draft him, would you be mad at that? If he falls?
No, I wouldn't be. I want them to take another swing on a quarterback. And to me, that's what Andy would do. That's what Bill Walsh would do. I think that's what Belichick proved he did year after year after year. Like, just because you got your guy doesn't mean you stop looking.
Here's one. A lot of people are going to find it weird. Carson Beck, he's a guy that can fall.
Look, I'm open-minded to a lot of different people. Now, should their first and second pick be the quarterback? No.
Third, fourth, though? Maybe.
Then I'm open-minded to it. But it's also like, am I keeping Trent? Do I have five picks in the top four rounds? Or do I have only three? Like, I think that they need to invest heavily into another running back and the offensive and defensive lines. Those would be my first four-round priorities before I get to quarterback. But quarterback's in there.
And we heard it from Baldy, who joined us at 7:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. You can find that entire interview. Download the Odyssey app. It's free. Find us it on YouTube, 95sendthename.com, everything. Find that Baldy interview. He was great. And he echoed the same sentiments. He said, you know what? Outside of Nick Bosa, it's just not good enough right now for the San Francisco 49ers. You need at least three guys on the defensive line, he said. Two on the edge and one defensive and on the interior. So right now they have one. They won. They have Nick Bosa.
I know.
It's just not good enough. You thought, Drake Jackson maybe. Oh, you thought Javon Kinlaw, right? You thought Leonard Floyd this year. Yitor Gross-Matos. We've shown some stuff, but not enough. You didn't show me anything yesterday. Like, you need more. Now, it's intriguing, also scary, the proposition, and there's been rumblings, and people have been rumbling for the last few years. Maybe go after his brother, Joey.
Well, no, see, to me, I go the opposite.
That's a non-starter.
So I look at the Rams, right? The Rams are offensively top-heavy financially. Defense, they went all young. And they're one of the fastest, most powerful defenses right now. And they're actually really different than what they were a couple of years ago.
And what did they hit on? Those draft picks.
No doubt. Yep. No doubt.
But best converse.
And Byron Young's a solid young player, or younger player. Yeah, Verse has been an absolute monster, and so is Fisk. And then they've got a bunch of random guys that most people have never heard of. And then they took a swing on a guy who's bounced around, and Okello Witherspoon, who's been really good for them.
I know.
It's crazy. He's been really good for them. So
he made plays against the Niners. I was shocked by that.
Look, I always thought the guy had talent. He just was a knucklehead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I always thought he had talent. He was a knucklehead. So I think the Niners need to go young and cheap on defense and stop going via free agency that route. If there are some offensive linemen via free agency that are available. So like, this is where the financial conversation with Purdy does matter. Let's say there is a guard out there who's better than Aaron Banks, who's going to be a free agent. And let's say instead of, I'm just going hypotheticals, $80 million guaranteed. I'm only giving $60 million guaranteed over 2 years to Brock Purdy. I doubt it. These are imaginary numbers. Sure. Well, now I got $20 million guaranteed that maybe I can roll into a guard or a tackle or a center who might be available. And then I can draft another center or a guard or a tackle. And like, see, to me, it's not just on the trenches. Defensively, I'm drafting. I'm not going free agency in the trenches defensively. Offensively, I want a combination of a veteran and some drafted guys. They need some veteran depth on that offensive line.
Well, there's going to be a future Hall of Famer that's going to be available. We'll see if the team down in Texas retains him. Zach Martin's going to be a free agent.
See, like, to me, that's I would bring him in yesterday.
No-brainer, right? Like,
even if he's long in the tooth.
He's 34.
Trent's long in the tooth.
Right?
He fits right in.
And he arrived here long in the tooth.
And if I get him, now I've got Pooney and him, and that's nice. Like, see, to me, that's an upgrade over Aaron Banks, who played well last year and hasn't played close to as well this year.
Dave is out in San Francisco. He wants to join in the conversation. He's talking about maybe they should draft a quarterback. What's going on, Dave? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky.
Hey, first of all, Chasky, please don't ever bring PTSD ever in my life again with that Jose Cortez thing. Man.
Feel me?
Jeez. I honestly think I like that pick when you said Quinn Ewers. I think it's going to take a second round to go get him. But when have we given Kyle, other than Trey, a quarterback to really just sit and develop and give Brock competition? Like you said, competition is a good thing. So I think they should do that. But I fully on agree, get to the trenches, draft, and go get the free agents. But Quinn Ewers, with Shani teaching him, I think he could do some damage.
I'm with you. Look, this is about team building, and I think that people get too definitive in these things. Is Kyle Shanahan a good coach? Yes or no? And if you say no, that means you want him fired. Is Kyle Shanahan the best coach in the league who can win a Super Bowl every year? If you say yes, then yes, he is. It's like, guys, there's so much gray area. When I'm building a team, all right, like, and I'll just say Bill Walsh in the 80s.
Sure.
He was like, yeah, like, I love Joe Montana. He's won a lot of games for me. He won multiple Super Bowls. He also has this back injury, okay? And he's played poorly the last 2 years by my standards for him as a quarterback. So I'm going to go take a swing and I'm going to trade for
I broke my back.
I'm going to go trade for Steve Young because I want the best team possible and I'm insulating myself so that if Joe goes down again this year, all right, I've got something that doesn't just end my season. And you know what ending your season is Brandon Allen. Like, your season's over, okay? So if you had same questions about two-time Super Bowl freaking Joe Montana, how could you not be a little concerned about Brock's health, right? That's what any good organization would do. They would go out and they would say, hey, I'm still paying you. I'm going to give you some sort of a pay increase. You're going to come back. You're my starter as of right now, right? But I'm still looking for guys to take your job. And you know what your job is as a high-paid quarterback? To prove why you're worth more and why you're the man and to keep staving off father time, all right? That's what every quarterback in the league should be looking to do. And I look at all these guys that they face a little bit of adversity, like Kirk Cousins. Michael Penix was pushing him, and you saw what ended up happening to Kirk Cousins.
Folded.
Completely folded, right? And we all didn't think highly of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and a lot of that's his the injury he had. He's old. Like, it was just time. Kirk's
done a lot of things.
Like, he's done. Yeah, he's
a
done
lot of things. But, like,
future backup for San Francisco, by the way, next year.
The greatest things that have ever happened in Niner history, most of them are born out of some sort of a quarterback competition. Whether it's John Brody, Y.A. Tittle, whether we're talking about Joe versus DeBerg, Joe versus Steve Young, you know, like, most of these come with some sort of quarterback controversy. At some point, it was Alex and Cap, and you got the best out of Kaepernick. I thought it brought the best out of Alex, too, the very next year in 2012.
Iron sharpens iron.
You know, by just drafting Kaepernick. And then, obviously, think about what happened with the Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance. Jimmy had a nice bounce back in 2021.
Well, I think of what Jimmy did for Tom Brady when Jimmy pushed Brady a little bit.
100%.
And Brady's always been on edge kind of a guy. He doesn't like, and I heard Bill Belichick, I think he was on McAfee, and they were talking about like how does he Belichick, because he had these situations like, you know, Dan Campbell or some of these teams that you're not playing for anything the final 2 weeks or like the Chiefs are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, how did he combat that? Do you tell your players not to play or give it their all? He's like, yeah, I had a hard time telling a guy like Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman and Tom Brady, like, yeah, you guys aren't going to play because they live and breathe this thing. And Tom would be pissed if a backup or even a third string would take any of his reps in any situation because that's how he is wired. I think Brock is wired a little bit like that as well, which I appreciate. But yeah, to your point, like, I wouldn't be upset if the Niners ended up in the third round or fourth round getting like a Carson Beck or a Quinn Ewers or something like that. Someone to push just a little bit, like, that's a big enough name for me that it does something. That's why I said Milroe, because he's a name, right? But he's gonna be linked to a second or a third round pick, and that interests me.
I don't treat quarterback different than running back. Like,
oh, sure.
Okay, so you had Christian McCaffrey, best player on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You also had Jordan Mason backing him up, okay? Yeah. And you had Elijah Mitchell. What did you do? You drafted another running back. I don't care what position it is. I'm trying to have a competition across the board.
That's a Bill Walsh and it's an Al Davis special. Think of Marcus Allen. Who they bring in?
Bo Jackson.
Oh, Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marcus. You're going to be a fullback now. You're going to block for Bo. Credit to Marcus. He's a Hall of Famer and he's like, all right, sure. You know what? Fine. I'll do it.
But here's where it gets tough.
Yeah.
If you give a guy $150 million guaranteed, Atlanta Falcons, and then draft a quarterback 10th overall or 9th overall. Like, okay, now you're spending too much capital and asset money on a position where only one guy can play, right? So that's the only area where I would say the two can conflict with each other. But what I'm saying is I'm not giving Brock the amount of guaranteed money that Kirk Cousins got. Not yet, no. Hell no, not coming off that injury. And especially, we got to find out what this injury is. And I'm not drafting a guy that high unless they fall in love. And if they do, then if they fall in love and they draft someone in the first round, I think the writing's on the wall then for Brock.
Wow, look at that. On the TV screen here in Michigan, Alabama, I just saw a Michigan kicker make an extra point. That's pretty crazy. Brian Baldinger on the 49ers quarterback injury trend, if it's a thing.
This is the position. You know, Joe Burrow's missed 2 out of 5 years. How many actually stay healthy? The fact is, it's the position. But you can go through the list of all these guys, and I don't care what the name of the back of the jersey is. It's the nature of the position right now. It'd be good if on that play that Brian Branch hit him on, that they would have known that the safety was blitzing. Now, I saw it. He's up at the line of scrimmage. What else is Brian Branch doing there? You would think that you'd have a little bit of awareness that he's there, and they didn't, and he got hit. But it's the nature of the position. These guys are getting hit by monsters and getting crushed. I honestly don't know how some of them survive a season with some of the hits that they take.
And that's Baldy. Just, and we kind of stumbled upon Shasky. Just this trend. It just, not that it's exclusive to the Niners, as Baldy's laying out. Everyone gets hurt. Quarterbacks get hurt. Teams get hurt. It happens. It just feels like, whether it was Alex Smith in the shoulder, whether it was Cap in the shoulder, whether it was Jimmy and everything, it felt like, whether it was Trey Lance, and now you're seeing it with Brock, just, they can't escape those nagging injuries to these quarterback and these, I'm going to say it, injury-prone players. I don't want to tag Brock Purdy. Maybe it's early, but I feel like we're on the precipice of saying he's going to be injury-prone going forward.
Well,
and that's the worst place you can be.
Can we all acknowledge that the game is super violent and it's baked in that you're going to get hurt?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to have adversity. Like, it's just teams, quarterbacks, coaches, you know, wide receivers, you're all going to have certain adversity that you're just going to have to overcome. And that's the league as a whole. You're not going to have all your weaponry all the time. And so we can make excuses for where the Niners are at. Did you see the graphic at the beginning of the game for the Detroit Lions? They're missing everyone.
Yes.
They're missing everyone.
We had Lomas Brown on yesterday. Should be a Hall of Famer, but a Lions Hall of Famer, and he's the radio color analyst. And he was saying, I just named him off to him all the time. He's just laughing because it's just, you can just got to laugh at the pain, right?
What are they, 14-2?
Yes. They have two losses. One loss in the NFC.
14 games.
And their one loss was to a Tampa Bay team that's probably going to win their division, who played them tough in the playoffs last year. Tampa Bay is a good, like, Tampa Bay on any given.
14-2.
Yeah, it's crazy. God, and they lost to the Bills in a shootout. Like,
I mean, just what a year. And like, they lost their best defensive player to a snap leg in one of the most horrific fashions.
And
they've been playing with him for, what, 10 weeks without him?
Right. They said, they keep saying, and he keeps saying, I see him a bunch of, not just, he's saying, hey, couple weeks, I could be back. Couple weeks. I don't know if I'm doing that. Like, he's like the future of my defense. So maybe I'm telling him to cool down. But he's kind of like that Max Crosby type where he just wants to get out on that field, that TJ Watt type. He just wants to get out there. So, yeah, just the defenses yesterday, the Swiss cheese defense, as Brad Gilbert always likes to say, holes everywhere on both sides. And there's more of an excuse, though, built in with the Lions, I feel like, just given the amount. Because I still saw all pros out on the field last night for the San Francisco 49ers. Just weren't making plays. And is that scheme? Is that the players getting older? Is that players taking bad angles like Hufanga on line one? That's the guy right there. Like, we start having questions and the season's not over yet, but we're going to start having a lot of these conversations. And you and Bonte, you're going to start going through this depth chart and saying, in or out. And it's going to be, hey, like guys like Hufanga, in or out. Am I paying that guy a lot of money? The quarterback conversation will be built into that because I'm going to be paying. I have to set aside all this stuff for Brock, right? Which sucks because you'd like to keep everyone. Hufanga was such a dynamic player just 2 years ago, right?
And now he's running around with
a club.
I mean, it's just
a club on his hand.
I know. And to the caller's point from, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 minutes ago, this is where you have to cash in championships. Like, just one. Like, I'm of a belief, like, there's no way the Warriors or the Giants win multiple if they don't get that first one. You have to get, when your opportunity is called, you have to get that first one. Bonte said this since he was blue in the face. If the Chiefs don't win that first one, who knows what happens?
Exactly.